Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, we've got a new government that looks like an old government. There's been a bunch of tax stuff talked about, and taxes, you know, are a very sensitive topic for everybody. And there's a lot of concern around taxes, given that, you know, we spent a lot of money going through the pandemic and so on and so forth, and people are genuinely concerned about what this is going to look like going forward and into the future. And so we want to try to shed some light on what the range of changes may be, what's been discussed, kind of the probabilities of what might happen. And nobody better to help us do that than Jamie Golombek, who is the Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC. Jamie, we want to welcome you back to the show.
Oh, pleasure to come back.
All right. So I think I did a decent job of sort of setting up at least the fears that we hear from people. You know, what's in store for us, given that we're through the election now, and we've got some idea of what the new old government looks like, and what has been discussed on the various platforms. So maybe we just open it up to you. Love to get your thoughts on the topics of interest and sort of the probabilities of what you think may happen.
Yeah, so it's an interesting scenario. Of course, we have the same government pretty much as we had before. It's still a minority liberal government. Of course, they're going to need another party, right, to vote with them on any major measures, which makes some of the measures by, for example, the NDP more relevant than they would have otherwise been, absent this scenario. So we look at both platforms. We look at the liberal platform. We look also at the NDP platform. And we say, you know, what measures in each of those platforms could we be seeing in the next few weeks? People are talking about months, but we could have an economic statement in November. And sometimes we've seen major tax announcements, not often, but occasionally in an economic statement rather than waiting for a budget sort of in 2022. So, I mean, look, the Liberals had a number of interesting proposals. They had, you know, something called the First Home Tax Savings Account, which allows you to set aside $40,000 from RSPs and take it out tax-free, kind of the benefits of both the RSP and TFSA. So we might see the introduction of that. They're talking about taxing banks, which we know about for excess profits. We've seen that as well. That's been, somewhat controversial. A minimum tax for individuals, 15%, although we already have an AMT, so we're not really sure on what that's going to accomplish. But I think, there's nothing major, really. There's a few other small things on the liberal side. What people are most worried about, which I'm sure everyone here has talked about, is a couple of the proposals, maybe a few of them, from the NDP. The big one, of course, that we've talked about before on the program is, of course, the capital gains inclusion rate, which is at 50%. Could it go up to 75%? Certainly, that's what the NDP wanted. Could they do that? You know, absolutely they could. That's certainly on the table. They've talked about a wealth tax as well for, you know, individuals with, say, over $10 million of wealth. I think that's less likely because, after all, it is very complicated. There are very few countries in the world that still have a wealth tax. And then you get issues of valuation. How do you value the private company, the family farm, the business, the artwork, you know, things like that. So, stocks you can value, real estate you can generally value, but, you know, what about the other stuff, which becomes complicated? So I don't think we're going to see a wealth tax, although you never know. And, of course, the final one, which I think is off the table, is the principal residence exemption. Well, there were a lot of rumors about that, and that wasn't in the platform, but, you know, could the government ever bring in a tax to principal residence? And, my view is that they probably wouldn't do that politically. Because that would be remembered at the polls the next time. So I don't see that. So of all the proposals out there right now, in terms of, you know, what could affect an investor, I'm most worried about the capital gains inclusion rate. And that's something we've talked about before.
Jimmy, when you look at what's the opportunity in regards to housing, this was one of the platforms that I think all three major parties talked about in the campaign. The Liberals did come out with this tax program or tax savings program for or savings account towards helping for a down payment. We also heard about the flipping of homes and foreign buying and so forth. So housing was a big piece during the election campaign. Many of the individuals who are retired or transitioning to retirement have children who are concerned about the affordability of them purchasing a home. Many of them have also said, you know, maybe I should come in and help out my child and go from there. So when you look at some of these campaign promises, where do you see the benefit for a person being able to afford a home, considering Vancouver, Toronto, for example, it's been astronomical in price versus other parts of the country? And then also, when you look at these individuals passing money on to their children, are there ways that people should think about this from a tax perspective? Because I think this might be, we might be triggering a lot more tax to pay for housing than we ever have before.
We know housing has been a huge issue, and we've seen it addressed in all the campaigns. Certainly on the Liberal campaign, it's been addressed, and in particular, you know, with their incentive. Now, you know, saving $40,000 towards the first home, they do the calculations and how they came up with the $40,000. But really, you know, in a city like Toronto or Vancouver, the $40,000 is not going to help you buy your first home. It might help you buy that first micro condo, but it's not going to buy your first home. So I'm not sure how helpful that program is going to be, although we'll see. Maybe you combine that with the first-time home buyers plan and the RSP and the TFSA, and maybe you can come up with a couple $100,000 for that down payment. But we'll see. I'm not overly excited about that. Again, the foreign limit, you know, in terms of foreign buyers, again, how many, we hear stories about it, certainly in Vancouver and Toronto, but how big a market is that really? And that tends to be at the higher end as well. So I'm not sure that's going to make a big difference. In terms of housing, you know, things are certainly expensive in the big markets, and parents are often encouraged to, or at least they're interested in helping children get that down payment. That's very, very common. We see it all the time. At the same time, parents have to be careful as well, right? Because giving the money to the kid in most provinces, if they put it into a matrimonial home, if something happens with that relationship, that money is gone. At least half of it is gone. And that's the biggest concern. So we have worked with clients in conjunction with their lawyers to see that we can protect those assets. So, for example, if a parent does want to help out a child with the purchase of a home with a down payment, sometimes what we can do is we can structure it such as that the parent takes a mortgage. You know, they don't charge interest on the mortgage because why would they? At the end of the day, it's just intercompany money. And the problem is that, of course, that the interest is, you know, non-deductible by the kids and taxable to the parents. So it's a win-lose-lose scenario there, right? But, you know, do an interest-free mortgage so that if something happens to the relationship later on and the parents wish, they could simply collapse, call the mortgage, get the money out of the equity of the house before the house is sold. So that's something that can be looked at, and that's a strategy. But I think, yes, you're absolutely right. I think that the parents helping you know, the next generation buy will be something we'll see more and more of. And also, I think, you know, in some cities like Toronto, for example, where I live, renting is becoming a lot more, you know, palatable. It depends on what you're renting and the prices, right? But that being said, you know, it may be more of a rental society, at least in the short term, unless housing prices cool, or at least bear more resemblance to, you know, an income levels.
Well, we're down to about a minute left before we have to go for commercial break. When we talk about these types of issues, Dave, there are concerns for people as they transition to retirement. There are concerns for multiple reasons. One, they want to take care of themselves, make sure that they're protected. They want to make sure that their family is protected. So that would include aging parents and themselves, that sandwich generation that we've been talking about for so long. And so the idea of basically protecting yourself in both areas. Now you're one of them. I'm one of them. They're going to be taking care of our parents and our children as both parties age. And so when you look at what our clients are talking about, we have less than a minute now. What are one of the one biggest issues they see from a tax perspective when they're helping their family members?
I think that people are worried about how to be able to give wealth to the next generation on a tax-effective manner, right? Whether it's gifting or doing some other types of strategies, using income splitting and things like that. So that certainly is a big concern.
And that's the part of the process when we go through retirement is making sure that you do this properly, efficiently in a tax perspective, but making sure you bulletproof your retirement. And we're going to cover that on our next webinar on Tuesday, October 19th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
And join us after the break. If you're moving into or are in retirement, there's some tax planning tips as you get into the end of the year that you can take advantage of. Join us after the break for that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.